Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening. In this teaching, Teaching of Science of Mind, we tend to go along with the ancient wisdom from a lot of different sources that says our life is determined by the choices that we make today, moment by moment by moment. Tony Robbins, everybody familiar with him, you know, the motivational guy with the big teeth, always smiling kind of thing. He once made the statement, I love it, he said, "It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped." Isn't that beautiful? A little grandiose, but I love the way he puts that. That's not only good information and motivation, it's also very good inspiration. That's a simple but very powerful spiritual idea because it says very clearly that our ability to make our own individual choices always has complete priority over anything that the world, our family, the media, the medical community, our religious community, whatever it is, tries to tell us about the way we should be living our life. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen to those sources. Sometimes we listen to our family or to our minister or to our doctor. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that because they may be offering us a different set of choices that we can use to help us grow. But what we have to be careful of is they could also be offering us a limited set of choices designed, intentionally or unintentionally, to keep us in a very limited place. They teach us what they were taught. In either case, whether we're getting good information or not helpful information, it is our sole responsibility to make the choice that best fits our needs and our desires, and then to look at the consequences of that choice, both in the moment and afterwards, and decide whether the way we are living is the way that we want to live. That's how we use the creative power of life to bring a greater expression of life into the world. But what never ceases to amaze me is the number of people who don't seem to understand or appreciate this very simple idea. I mean, it's very funny when you watch people, when you listen, when it comes to things like what they do at work or management classes or leadership classes and things like that, everybody thinks it's a good idea to make your own decisions so you can be kind of self-reliant and independent and all those kind of things. But when it comes to what I call life choices, or what I really like to call spiritual choices, because all of life is spiritual, they want somebody else to tell them what to do. A lot of people are like that. They want someone to give them a certified list of God's rules, whether it's the Ten Commandments or anything else, and they want someone else to interpret those rules for them. So that's where traditional religion gets its power, from getting into people's minds and causing them to look outside themselves for the power of decision. So when someone first shows up in a place like this, in a teaching like this one, a New Thought teaching, because they started to realize that their old way of religious thinking wasn't working in their life, when they first come in and they listen to what we say, it's scary for some people. It really, really is. Because when you come here, we don't give you any external rules about how you're supposed to live. All we say is, it's all consciousness. You've heard me say that before, right? Okay, it's all consciousness, which is really just a very high-sounding way of saying that the universal answer to all of life's deepest questions is, it depends. It is, okay? In other words, how your life or my life turns out does not depend upon what God does or doesn't want. It depends 100%. How much? 100% upon how we choose at the deepest, most meaningful, most honest, and spiritual part of our being, how we choose to think, to feel, and to respond to everything that happens in the world around us. All right? Not only that, we also teach here that we all have inside of us, because we're all spiritual beings first, we all have more than enough intelligence and emotional strength and wisdom to make good decisions.
We teach that. And to do whatever we need to do to carry those decisions out. And to top all of that off, we teach that we all have the ability to change our mind at will, whenever we want. So that means not only that we can make choices, we all are pretty clear about that, but we can also change the choices we make. We can make new decisions. We can make better decisions. And by doing so, as Lee said in so many ways with Dr. Barker's book, by doing so, by making the choices and changing them, we can change the course of our life. That's the basic truth of this teaching. I mean, if you think about it, these are not rules for living as much as they are tools for living. And anybody who knows about tools, my father had a whole garage full of them, realizes that tools are only as good as the person who uses them. In the hands of a master, they're great. In the hands of an amateur, they're not. That's why René Descartes, the great French philosopher, once said, "It is not enough to have a good mind. The main thing is to use it well." There are a lot of people with very good minds whose lives are a mess. You know them, and so do I. Nobody in here, I'm sure, but there are those out there. Now, this becomes even more critical when we understand that we use our mind not only to choose between different opportunities as they present themselves, but to select, consciously or unconsciously, the actual opportunities from which we make our choices. That's important. Let me say it again. We use our mind not only to choose between the opportunities that come to us, but to select the actual opportunities themselves from which we make our choices. That's a very subtle but powerful point. In other words, we are not just handed a life menu that says choose one from column A, one from column B, and one from column C. All right, we'll talk about that a little more later. So first of all, if we make choices that create the choices from which we choose, that's a little convoluted, but I'll say it again. If we are making choices that create choices from which we choose, let's talk about the different kinds of choices that we run into. Because most of us would agree, if you think about it, that not all choices are the same. For example, some choices seem extremely important at the time. Wake you up in the middle of the night, absolutely life-grippingly important, but they later turn out to be a lot less important than we thought. Now, remember when you were a teenager? I know we've got a couple teenagers in here, all right? Things like, who should I ask to the senior prom? What color should I paint my bedroom, okay? Now, what should I put on my Facebook page? Those were big decisions at the time. Now, not so much, right? Okay, I mean, we all know people who still do this as adults, but we try to keep away from them. But even more interesting to me, at least from a metaphysical point of view, are the choices that don't seem very important at all at the time we make them, but they later turn out to be life-altering. Have you ever had one of those? Like, oh, I don't know, waking up one Sunday morning and deciding at the last minute, oh, what the hell, I'll go to church. I haven't been there in a few months. I'll go by. And you end up finding yourself sitting next to a person that you spend the rest of your life with. Little decision, totally unimportant, big result. Or I'll give you a real example. Like a friend of mine years ago, this is right after college, so this was a lot of years ago, and he chose one car over another. He wanted a certain car, but he had to pay a lot of money to upgrade because he wanted leather seats. At the time, they weren't as common as they are now. But in order to get the leather seats, he also had to pay a lot of money to get a bunch of extra things. And they had these new things they were putting in cars that he had to buy called airbags. And he bitched for months about having to pay for airbags. And then he was in an accident where the airbag saved his life less than a year later. Amazing. Little decisions, big results. These are the choices we make where we have the feeling that something larger than us was involved in that decision. Isn't that the way you feel? Sure we do. Whether we call it God or intuition or guardian angels, whatever name you were raised with. These are the kinds of so-called coincidences that get some otherwise non-spiritually oriented people a little more interested in something bigger than they are. In the spiritual side of life. Some of you may be in this room because something like that happened in your life. You see, instead of believing that decisions or events like these are special gifts to us from God or random luck, both of which some people think they are, we believe, because we believe in the logical, intelligent, scientific nature of God, that's the kind of God we believe in, we believe that these kind of events or these kind of results are perfectly logical outcomes of both our overall belief in what life offers us, that's one, and the choices that we have made, are making, and continue to make about that belief. So it's not necessarily the momentary choices that we make out there that determine our life. It's the long-term choices we make in here at the spiritual level. So we should be grateful when these kind of things happen, these sort of magical decisions that who knew what it would have meant, but we shouldn't be surprised. We should be grateful, but we don't have to be surprised, because the truth is, through our consciousness, we played a mental and spiritual part in drawing that opportunity to us through the law of attraction. We are manifesting miracles all the time. All the time. Your heart is beating, your breath's going in and out, but it goes far beyond that. We should never, ever overlook that. Of course, there are some decisions that are fairly obvious, or at least they should be. Let's see, I need money to pay my bills. Should I get a job or rob a bank? You know, one or the other. And that should be an easy decision. But if you look at the population of the Atlanta Penitentiary, it's obviously not as easy a decision for some people as it was for others. Then there's another kind of decision. There are those difficult but exciting decisions we have to make when we find ourselves confronted by two or more fantastic opportunities. You won the lottery. Would you like a lump sum of $25 million or $500,000 for the rest of your life? Ooh, I'd like to make a decision like that, wouldn't you? Okay? Decisions, decisions. Or maybe you win a contest where the first prize is a date with either Ryan Reynolds or Bradley Cooper. You know, and you can't have both. You got to pick one, okay? Or Olivia Wilde or Scarlett Johansson, whatever floats your boat, you know? A trip to Hawaii or a trip to Paris or a trip to Rome. Decisions, decisions, okay? These are fun decisions, and nobody complains. Well, some people do, but most of us don't complain about making it. But the really difficult decisions, the ones I want to expand upon today, are those where neither choice promises an attractive or enjoyable outcome. These are what Lee referred to, or Monica, I think it was, as being between a rock and a hard place. And we've all been in situations like these, and they're no fun, especially when we're dealing with some life-altering or life-threatening even situations. For example, do we leave an unhappy relationship, or do we throw away a 10-year marriage? Two difficult decisions. Do we quit a job we can't stand anymore, or do we hang around for another 10 years waiting for retirement? Two difficult decisions, all right? Radiation, surgery, or chemotherapy. Those are difficult decisions. And we have to make those decisions. What makes the decision process even more difficult is that many of our most difficult emotions start to come into play. Fear, that's a big one. Anger, resentment, guilt, shame, yada, yada, you know the list. Especially when you believe that you create your own experience. Well, what the hell? If I create my own experience, why did I do this to myself? We get into that state of mind. The unfortunate thing is, a lot of that negative emotion actually ends up being directed towards a higher power outside of ourselves. Now, we may not admit it, all right. We may say it's our fault, or it's life's fault, or it's some other person's fault, or whatever it happens to be. But the one we're really angry at is God. Is God, okay? Because he, using the traditional, is the one that we think should have protected us. He's the one who shouldn't have put us in this impossible situation in the first place. And as a result, not only do we find ourselves in a position where we feel like we're being forced to make a decision that we don't want to make, we also feel like we've been deserted by the only one who could save us, which is God, way up there. So we either turn away from spiritual thinking altogether, cynicism, whatever, or we bargain. We bargain. We try to figure out a way to convince this power out there to either change its mind and save us, or at least give us a better alternative to choose from. That's what we do. Now, a number of things come into play at this point, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The first, and probably the most common, is that we allow our incomplete understanding of the situation we're going through. And I say it's incomplete because all of life is incomplete. Knowledge is always incomplete because there's always more to know. So we make the unconscious choice to narrow our focus to a range of possibilities about this wide. We look only at the options that have been presented to us, which is perfectly understandable because by this time we have made them so big and so scary that there isn't room for any other options. Oh my God, I've got to do this or that, this or that. What do I do? What do I do? And then we start playing what if. Well, what if I choose this and that happens? Well, what if I choose that and this happens? And we go back and forth and back and forth. Sometimes we end up like the proverbial donkey. It's an old proverb about a donkey who starved to death between two bales of hay because he couldn't decide which one he was going to eat first. It's an old, old story, thousands of years old. The problem is we become, more obsessed with making the safest choice than we are with choosing the best consciousness with which to create our choice. Say it again. We become more obsessed with making the safest choice than we are with choosing the best consciousness with which to create our choice. What we sometimes forget, and what this teaching tells us in a lot of different places, is that there are no wrong choices, and there are no right choices. There are only choices. Or as I once heard it said, if you make the wrong choice with the right consciousness, everything's probably going to turn out right. But if you make the right choice with the wrong consciousness, everything's probably going to turn out wrong. I mean, that's certainly something to think about. You see, our greatest power comes when we realize that there are a lot more choices to make in life than just choosing between door number one, door number two, and door number three. There are a lot more choices. In fact, once you understand how the law of mind works, there are choices we can make that will actually change what is behind door number one, door number two, or door number three. That's an amazing thing to contemplate. Okay, that's what this power can do when we allow it to work through us as the power of decision instead of working on us or outside of us as some sort of a god of judgment. This power of consciousness can create completely different opportunities than the ones we were fixated on before. For example, we have the power to choose how we perceive the choices that we face. We can see the choices we face as devastating, dangerous, and deadly with no possible way out, or we can see them as opportunities to learn and grow and experience life in a whole new way, to find out who we are, what we're made of, what we can do, maybe even what we might like to do. For example, choosing a big cut in pay because your company's downsizing or quitting a job when you're not retirement age can be a difficult thing to decide, and it can be a big blow to our ego. It can fill you with anger, despair, all those things, or it can be the perfect way to start a brand new career. And you won't have to explain to your mother or your friends why you quit a perfectly good job. Great opportunity, all right? No matter what the challenge happens to be, and we all face lots of them during the course of our life, we can always choose to see it as an opportunity to excel, as they used to say when I was in college, or we can see it as a limitation. If we see it as an opportunity to grow, life will use it as an opportunity to support our growth. Because the only guarantee that we have in this world is that our life will always reflect our deepest thoughts, beliefs, and emotions. That's the only guarantee we got. In fact, Raymond Charles Barker, who Lee was talking about, here was a quote you didn't give. I was hoping you wouldn't so I could use it. Thank you very much. Anyway, This is very, now this takes thinking. Think when you hear this. The principle of life is that life responds by corresponding. The principle of life is that life responds by corresponding. Your life becomes the thing you have decided it will be. Isn't that great? Your life will become the thing that you have decided, not will decide, have decided it shall be. Now, we also have the power to choose how we think about our own abilities when we're confronted with a choice. We can choose to be a victim. Some people do that. We can choose to feel powerless. Some people do that. Or we can choose to believe that we are enough and we can handle anything that happens in our life. We can make that choice. But if we want to go even beyond that, if we want to be really, really advanced, like an enlightened spiritual being would approach his or her life, which we can all do, we can also choose to face every situation in our life, no matter what it is, from a calm and peaceful state of mind. We can make that choice. I mean, why not? Giving in to fear is a choice. Experiencing fear is not. It happens to all of us. But giving in to fear is a choice. Feeling trapped is a choice. Feeling trapped is a choice. Anger is a choice. It's all about choices. We just need to start believing that there are more constructive choices available to us than we realize. There are more choices available than we realize. We need to stop expecting the worst and start expecting and accepting the best. Even if we don't know what the best looks like yet. Even if we haven't seen it. Even if the world tells us that it can never happen. You see, one of our greatest strengths is our ability to choose to believe that we are the perfect vehicles for the infinite source of all intelligence. That's one of the greatest choices we can make. And an infinite intelligence, by definition, has a lot more answers than we have questions. Doesn't that make sense for an infinite intelligence? Sure. We have an open connection to a mind that really does know everything. And as we start to contemplate our situation, whatever it happens to be, no matter how serious it looks, from a higher point of view, from a more elevated consciousness. Emerson said, prayer is the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view. Once we do this, we're going to start to see the problem that we thought was so limited and narrow and life-shattering, so impossible to solve. Instead of just seeing it from a human perspective, we're going to see it from God's perspective. That's what's going to happen. And from that perspective, the beautiful thing is nothing is impossible. Right? Nothing at all. There is something in us that is perfectly capable of making the impossible possible. There's something in us that can solve the unsolvable, and it knows the unknowable. And I'm not talking about some mystery of faith, because there's nothing mysterious about it at all. I'm simply saying that words like impossible and unsolvable and unknowable and insurmountable are not spiritual ideas. They are not spiritually creative ideas. They're only beliefs based on limited knowledge that disappear as soon as a greater choice is revealed. But a greater truth can never be revealed until someone starts to use the creative process by making a choice. By making a choice. So maybe the way we need to start thinking about ourselves is as God's infinite ability to choose. Isn't that great? We are God's infinite ability to choose. That's a very empowering idea. All right, I'm going to close with a test. Okay? Put away all pencils and paper. No, not that kind of test. This is just to see if you've been paying attention. And it's a story I told many years ago, I think, probably 10, 15 years ago in a talk, but I still like it. And it's a little bit out of date, but just bear with me. And it's about a company that had an interview process for a high-level creative person, and they used the following question when interviewing the people that they were talking to. All right, so put yourself in this place. You're driving along a road on a cold, rainy night, in the middle of nowhere and you pass a bus stop. Everybody with me so far? Okay, good. There are three people standing there shivering, very cold. One of them is an elderly woman. You don't know her, but she's very, very sick. One is your childhood best friend who once saved your life. And the third is the man or the woman of your dreams. All right? But since you're driving your shiny new sports car that you manifested, you only got your seat and one seat. So you can pick one person, and you will never see the other two for the rest of your life. Ooh, I don't know about that, okay? Now, if this was today, most of us would say, what's the deal? You take out your iPhone and call Uber. Everybody gets picked up. It's all handled, okay? But this was pre-iPhone and pre-Uber, okay, if you can remember back that far. Anyway, out of 200 or so applicants, the young man they hired thought a minute and said this. Are you ready? Everybody know who you'd pick? Okay. He said, I would get out of the car, give my friend the keys, have him take the sick woman to the hospital, and I would snuggle at the bus stop with the man or woman of my dreams until a bus showed up. All right? Now, I think that's great. That is a man who knows how to make choices. Now, the intelligent use of our power to choose, the intelligent use of our power to choose is the only way we are able to completely transform any difficult situation we're in, whether we're dealing with health, money, work, relationships, or any other part of our life. So if you ever feel yourself being boxed in, if you can't think of anything else, and you want to inject some spiritual good sense into the situation, tell yourself this. There is always a solution. There is always a solution. Which is true. Which is true. There has to be, because all of God, all of intelligence is all present wherever we are all the time. All the time. And being constantly aware of this is the best way for us to keep from being paralyzed by indecision. Because the truth is, there's always an abundance of divine choices ready to flow through us into the world. All right? Any one of which could reflect a greater level of understanding than the level we were at when we created our problem in the first place. So the correct spiritual answer to anything that life asks of us is never, I don't know. The correct answer is, I may not know what to do right now, but something within me does. Something within me does. And how we choose to express that idea is without a doubt the most important decision we are ever going to make in our life. This is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Oh. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Let's just take a moment. Allow ourselves to take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let us recognize that whatever we believe God is, we are also it. If we believe that this greater power is intelligence and life and joy and peace of mind, and infinite creativity, we are that. We are the expression of God, the expression of life in the world that creates the world through the power of our thought. Our thought gives our power direction, and our emotions give it strength. So we commit through this teaching, through this greater awareness, to thoughts that go in a positive direction, powered by love. We give no power at all and no attention to thoughts that go in a negative direction, powered by anger or fear. When we see these things, we bless them and open ourselves and whoever else is involved to a greater possibility. So I know as we look at the problems in the world, there is nothing that cannot be overcome. no tragedy, no war, no violence, no hatred, no election. None of these things needs to have power over our thought and belief or the thoughts and beliefs of the world. We can create something better, changing one consciousness at a time. And in this moment, I choose to change mine. Knowing this, I release any belief in false ideas that do not support this greater idea. I give them no power, no attention. I don't fight them. I simply release them and know something better. And I give thanks. I give thanks for all I have been given and all I have yet to give. I give thanks for the intelligence that is always available to me. I give thanks for the courage to make intelligent decisions. I give thanks for the faith I have in greater ideas. Knowing this, I accept this idea completely. I accept this truth as my own, and I release it into consciousness, letting it be the truth for me from this moment on. Join me in saying, and so it is.